Ja. Amen. We jam into something. That sounded good, whatever it was. Okay. Good morning. We are glad to see each of you here today. And those of you that are here, those that are in the parking lot, those that are in, over at Miss Eugenia's, unless you went back. But y'all, speaking for me and probably most of my Sunday school class and most of y'all's, it was good to have Sunday school today. It was good to be back in studying the Lord's Word this morning. And we thank the teachers that prepared this morning and just look forward to more. It's a different feeling, y'all, and that's one that we certainly need to be proud of. Several announcements this morning. First, the flowers today by Miss Beverly. You grew them yourself, didn't you, Miss Beverly? You've been working all summer, but they look good. And they're in memory of Mr. Thomas, right? So thank you for that. And I know some of you did this because I saw your names on there. But y'all, every Sunday morning at 8:30, when you're getting ready for Sunday school, Larry is doing the Sunday school lesson on Facebook. So you can catch the early edition with Larry, and then you can come to Sunday school and get everybody else's edition, and Larry gives it again. So if you have that opportunity, like, I guess you have to like Larry on Facebook. Friend Larry on Facebook, and then you can get his Sunday school lesson every Sunday morning. So that's very worthwhile. Thank you, Larry, for doing that. Second thing, deacons will meet next Sunday morning at 8:45 in the fellowship hall, and that will be active and inactive deacons. So all 12 of us, I think, will need to be there for that, Mike. The offering plates, we're still not going to be passing offering plates in the sanctuary for a while. We've got one on either side. If you have not given your offering, whatever, during Sunday school, we've got the plates here available for that. Before we get to Misha's and Larry's announcements and stuff, I have a thank you note from Brother James Holloway, who has been our associational missionary, associational director for, gosh, 20 something years. Anyway, I'm going to read this to you. Thank you for the generous gift on the occasion of my retirement as associational missionary from the Bethel Baptist Association. You all have truly been such a blessing over these past 21 plus years. I hope to see you all again soon, Lord willing. Thank you again, Brother James. And so we'll put that up on the bulletin board out here for people to look at. I do have some prayer requests, praises, all at the same time. Ms. Maxine is home. Am I right, Holly? Ms. Maxine is home. Ms. Joyce Morris is home. I didn't know she had been in the hospital, but Rick told me she had shingles, and so she's home now. Robin, we are thankful and praying at the same time. Robin had a little scare a week or two ago, and she goes for a stress test tomorrow, and so we'll be praying for Robin in that capacity. Does anybody else have any prayer requests or anything at this time? I know many of you in our Sunday school class, and all know that my Uncle Gene from Blakely has multiple myeloma. He started chemo treatments this week. He'll take it once a week for 9 months. So we need to certainly be in prayer for Uncle Gene and Aunt Tommy. So with that. Any other prayer requests this morning? Any particular praises this morning? And again, being able to go back to Sunday school, y'all, that is a wonderful, wonderful praise. Nothing? Nobody? All right, well, Mish, I'll let you come on, and then Larry, you can come after Misha.
Good morning, y'all. Just an update on shoe boxes. Hang on, technical difficulties. Just an update on shoeboxes. We've got 50 over here on this pew. I've got 100 more at my house that have still got to be built. If you want to pack your own shoebox, feel free to pick them up. Some of y'all know me well enough to know that I'm OCD, and so like if you take one, please tell me so that I can give you one of these labels. It has this little label on it where you can take a picture of it with your phone and upload it to the website where you can track your box to know where it goes. This is something new this year. You see you had to pay extra to do that, but every box that goes can have one of these labels, and you get to know where your box goes. So with your $9 shipping fee, if you're packing individual boxes at home by yourself, this label, you pay $9 and you stick it on there and you scan it and whatever, and it'll tell you where that, you'll get an email like January, February, and it'll say, okay, your box went to so-and-so. It's really neat to see where they wind up. But I'm just going to try to keep up with how many girl 2-4, 5-9, 10-14 boxes we have so that we can kind of keep them all even. So if you pick up boxes, let me know. I'll kind of stand over here at the end of the service so that I can hand out labels if anybody wants them. We are going to have a packing party November the 18th, which is not this Wednesday, but the next Wednesday. If you want to come and help pack shoe boxes church-wide, we will ask that you wear a mask, and I do ask that you RSVP so that I can kind of be prepared for how many people we've got coming so that we can see how we need to kind of set up and spread out. Also, I've had a couple people ask me, like, I want to buy 150-somethings because we're going to pack 150 boxes here at church. So I think the best way I'm going to do that is I'm going to create an Amazon wish list. I don't know if some of you are familiar with those. Some teachers did those back at the beginning of school, and it worked really well. You just go on, I'll share it to the Facebook page for church, but you just go on that wish list, and you can buy whatever you want to buy. It'll be shipped to church, and then it'll be here and prepared for the packing party on the 18th. I think that's everything. If anybody has any questions, let me know. About $20 to $25 is what a box costs, and that includes your $9 for shipping. So some people are donating $100. I want to pack four boxes. That's fine if you want to donate money. I'll open this box over here if you want to put money in that box, four shoe boxes if you have cash and you want to keep it separate from offering, and then we'll get that to Miss Betty. But drop it off of Miss Betty during the week. If you see me somewhere, I'll take it and get it to Miss Betty, however we need to make it happen. But 6 on Wednesday, November the 18th.
Okay, yeah, I can do that. Good morning, everybody. Good morning. There's a lot more people in here this morning than there's been, and that tells us that Sunday school is so, so important. And thank everybody for coming out this morning. Now, that would be this morning. We have 58. And there's probably more than 58 people in here. So, Lord, we're just thankful. I'm very thankful that, Mr. John probably didn't get counted. 59. You did? Okay. Well, I'm just going to say 58. But we're just glad that everybody that was here this morning. It was good to be back in Sunday school. It was good to see faces instead of staring just at a phone. I'm just very thankful. And it was a good morning, and I appreciate everybody being here. I have a couple of presentations to make this morning. If Butch Kaminsky and John Stedham Timmons would come forward, we got a presentation for them this morning. I'll give them just a second to get here. This has become an annual event for many years at Arlington Baptist Church. Yeah, Butch over there. Just stand over there just a little bit so I won't be too close to y'all because I don't have my mask on. But this is perfect attendance in recognition of Butch Kaminsky for 12 years of Sunday school perfect attendance. And this particular plaque says, in recognition of John Stedham Timmons for 63 years of perfect Sunday school attendance. There you go, John.
Hold that for a good picture, John.
We appreciate their dedication to being here on Sunday morning. If y'all come in here and let's take a picture right quick.
Y'all ain't standing up.
Y'all keep your
mask.
Look at Sherry, y'all. Thank y'all. We appreciate their dedication, and we also very much appreciate the dedication of those that make sure that they get here every Sunday morning. And I know that Sherry and Mike and Mr. Ike and Miss Shelby and Richard and Alita and sometimes Hank and a lot of times Frank, we appreciate the dedication that y'all have to make sure that they're here. Thank y'all.
All right, let's have a word of prayer this morning before we let Rick come up and give us the message this morning. So let's pray. Lord, we thank you again for another day you've given us, another day of life, another opportunity to come to your house. And Lord, we thank you for the planning, the safety techniques, everything that went into place into us being able to open up Sunday school again. And Lord, I pray you'll be with us as we continue to move forward, as we take baby steps to get back to being an open church totally. And Lord, thank you for all that you do for us. Pray that you'll just be with us throughout this upcoming week. Be with Rick as he brings a message this morning. Lord, forgive us for the times when we fail you. For it's in Christ's name I pray. Amen. All right, so Children's Church going with Jay and Ashley this morning. Anybody else? No, you can't go, John. All right, and I'll turn it over to Rick.
All right, good morning, church. It's good to see you this morning. If you would, take your Bibles and let's turn to Ephesians chapter 5. Ephesians 5, which should be a very familiar passage of Scripture. And as you turn it, let me say thank you for praying for us while we were gone this past week. And it's always good to get back. Thank you for your prayers. And we're excited about today's very, very special day to be able to get back and see a lot of you guys. And to those that are in our parking lot, thank you for coming as well in those houses. And you may be driving by. Thank you for tuning in on the radio as we look at the Word of God this morning. Ephesians 5, I want to read verses 15 through verse 18, which are some very familiar passages of Scripture. As we continue to look as the theme, spiritual warfare. We are in a spiritual warfare, and we need to be prepared. And I think this is one of the strong passages that will encourage us and strengthen us in our walk with the Lord. See then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time because the days are evil. Therefore, do not be unwise, but understand what the will of the Lord is. And do not be drunk with wine in which is dissipation, but be filled with the Spirit. Let's pray together. Father, we thank you so much, Lord, for a time that we can get back together. We praise you for that, Lord. We thank you for the week that we've experienced, Lord. Yes, there's been some up situations, down situations, but yet this is the day and that you have created for us to come and worship. And Lord, help us as we go through difficult times to learn from them. Lord, we realize there have been a lot of folks who have asked the question, you know, what in the world is this world coming to? Well, the answer is Jesus. We know the Word of God teaches us that the plan is set. We're to look for His coming, and we pray that His coming is soon. And I pray, Lord, as you come back, we would you would find us faithful, and you would find us praying and witnessing and serving and living lives that, Lord, would honor and glorify you. So we thank you so much for this time today. May your name be glorified and be lifted up in everything that we do in Christ's name. Amen. We've been looking, a couple of weeks ago, we did a sermon on abandoning self, to be emptied of self. So to be emptied of self, the most important thing is to be filled with the Holy Spirit. And the first thing I want you to notice is what I'm entitling the means of the Spirit. You know, people understand that, you know, when you get saved, when the Holy Spirit works through the Word of God, you get convicted, you realize that you're a sinner. And the very moment that there's faith and trust in Christ and repentance, you are born again and the Spirit of God comes into your life. You're indwelt by the Spirit of God. In other words, the Spirit of God baptizes you into the body of Christ, which is a one-time thing. But here, it means multiple times. It can happen all throughout the day, depending on the kind of lifestyle that you live, the kind of difficulties, the different obstacles that you face. It's important that we might be controlled totally by the Holy Spirit. And so some people have asked, well, okay, I understand that. I understand the Bible says in Ephesians 1:13 that I'm sealed unto the day of redemption. I can understand in chapter 4 of Ephesians, verse 30, that I'm also sealed unto the day of redemption. There's security, our assurance in Christ. And I know the Spirit of God now lives in me. So how can I, what does it mean to be filled? How can I respond to that? And I hope and pray that some of the things that we share today might be practical for us as we learn what it really means to be filled. The first thing I want you to notice is very simplistic. You must desire that. You must want to be filled by the Holy Spirit. It's sort of like salvation. And if you would take your Bibles and turn to John 7. This is a great passage of Scripture where Jesus actually gives us the gospel truth. And if you'll notice in John chapter 7, verse 37, it's the last day of the Feast of Tabernacles. And the Bible says in verse 37, on the last day, that great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried out, saying, "If anyone thirst, let him come to me and drink. He who believes in me, as the Scriptures has said, out of his heart will flow rivers of living water. But this he spoke concerning the Spirit, whom those believing in him would receive, for the Holy Spirit was not yet given because Jesus was not yet glorified." Unique situation. Most teachers that taught, they sat down to teach. At this particular time, Jesus stood up and cried out, and he gave the gospel very simplistic. If you thirst and come to me, you drink and receive salvation. And it'd be sort of like if I went to Mike and said, "Mike, you know, you're a good guy. God just impressed me to give you $100. And I, you know, it's nothing that you've done, nothing that you've worked on. I'm just going to give you $100. Well, I'm sure Mike would run and grab that $100. There was that desire. And that's how Jesus presents the gospel. He said, if anyone thirst, it's for everybody. If anyone thirst, and you know good and well, you know, if you've been without food or water for a long time, you're aware when that time comes that, hey, I'm thirsty. I need something to quench my thirst. So there's an awareness there. And then you go to the ice box and you grab out a Coke or some water or whatever, and you drink it. It's a desire. And it's the same way with the Holy Spirit. There's got to be that desire. You need to want to be filled with the Holy Spirit of God. The psalmist sort of explained it like this in Psalm 42 in verse 1 and 2. As the deer pants for the water brooks, so my soul pants for you, O Lord. And it describes a deer that's running for its life, a bear or a wolf or a dog or something that's after him. And he runs for his life and finally loses that animal and is just so thirsty. There needs to be a quenching of that thirst. And David said, that's how I long for you. And that's how we ought to pray and say, Lord, I want to be filled with your Spirit. I know that he lives in me. And I want him to control me. I want him to lead me. I want him to speak to me. Jesus said in John chapter 14, he said, the Spirit, the Bible says that the Spirit will bring to our remembrance the things that we need. He will teach us. He will lead us. He has so many ministries. And so how important it was when Jesus told those disciples in John 14 that I'm going to send you another comforter. You're not going to be alone. I'm not going to leave you by yourself. You're going to have the Spirit of God not only just being with you, but he's going to live inside of you. He will teach you. He will lead you. He will direct you. He will motivate you. He will control you. And so there's that desire to want to be saved. You know, Jesus preached in Matthew chapter 5 and verse 6. He said, "Blessed are those who hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled." And I thought that was pretty neat this week, because he said, he could have just said, "Blessed are those that thirst after righteousness." Or he could have said, "Blessed are those who hunger after righteousness or living right." But he said, "Who hunger and thirst." And I thought, hey, wow, that's pretty cool, because in John chapter 6, there's about several verses in there. Verse 38, 41 that says, "I am the bread of life." And then in John chapter 4 and verse 10, he told the woman at the well that he was the living water. So all we need is Jesus, because he's both the bread of life and he's both the water, the living water. And so there should be a desire within the believer. Now that old man has been crucified. Now that Christ has saved us and forgiven us, that we have the Spirit of God, the power of God. And I think the thing that God reminds me quite often is the same power that God Almighty raised His Son from the grave is the same power that resides in every single believer who has been born again by the Spirit of God. That's an awesome thought. And the question I've asked myself, you know, where is that power today? Is it being influenced? Is it being lived out in the Church of God among us as believers? So there's got to be that desire, that hunger and thirst to want to be controlled and filled by the Holy Spirit. Second thing, not only to desire to be filled, but to declare all known sin. You remember the Spirit of God said, or the Word said in John 14, that the Spirit would bring to our remembrance all things. In John 16, in verse 7 and 8, He's the one that convicts us of sin, of righteousness and judgment. So when we disobey God and when we rebel against God and we do the things that we ought not to do, or we don't do the things that we should do, the Spirit of God brings and makes known to us that sin that we need to confess. And so we mentioned sort of that a couple of weeks ago when we talked about abandoning the self life. And that we would live the Christ life where Christ is on the throne and He's ruling and reigning in our lives. So it's important that we be emptied of ourselves, but yet we need to be filled, dominated, and controlled by the Holy Spirit of God. In fact, I was thinking this morning as I was going over the message where David mentioned in Psalm 139, verse 23 and 24, Lord, you know my heart. Lord, try me. If there be any wicked thing in my life, would you show that to me? And that ought to be the prayer of every one of us, because, you know, we need to be emptied of our sin and we need to be naming that, Lord, you know, I lusted today, or I got angry today, or I'm bitter, Lord, or there's some hatred in my life, or there's resentment there, whatever it might be. God, you know what that is. And I come and confess that. The word confess means that we agree with God because He already knows about our sin. And so we say, Lord, this is what I need for you. I'm thankful that you forgave me of those things, that we might be emptied of that, that we might be a vessel that's filled and dominated by the Holy Spirit of God. So it's important all throughout the Bible. David in Psalm 32, Psalm 51, he confessed, he said, against you, Lord, against you only have I sinned. He mentioned that. Nehemiah, when he found out that Jerusalem was in desperate situations in Nehemiah 1:6, he began to pray and confessed not only the sin of Israel, but even his own sin. And we find that in how important it is to confess that before the Lord. The third thing I want you to notice, we need to devote ourselves to holiness. In 1 Peter 1, 15 and 16, it says, be ye holy for I am holy. The importance of holiness. In fact, the writer of Hebrews says in chapter 12, Hebrews 12, 14, he said, pursue peace with all people and holiness, without no one would see the Lord. And so God desires for us to live a holy life, a life that's exemplary, that He would be non-ashamed of. The Bible also says in 2 Corinthians 7, 1, therefore, having these promises, and we have many promises, beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and the spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear or the reverence or the respect of the Lord. So it's sort of progressive, isn't it? First, we want to be filled. There's that desire. Lord, I want you to live in my life. Therefore, I want to confess those things in my life that ought not to be there. And then I want to devote my life to pursuing purity, to live a life of purity and a life of holiness. In fact, listen to what Luke wrote in Luke 9:23. Jesus is speaking. Jesus said unto them all, if anyone desires to come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. You know, what a statement. What a statement. Now, the next thing I want you to notice is a very difficult thing that I try to do every morning. The fourth thing is we need to die to ourselves each day. We need to die to ourselves. And that's exactly what Luke 9:23 says. We deny ourselves. We still have that battle that rages within us. That desires to go anti-Bible, anti-Christian. The struggle is, and someone asked, I think it was one of the pastors out in California. He was, I think it might have been John MacArthur, or it might have been Swindoll. He was the chaplain for one of the football teams, the professional football teams. And he went out there, and in the devotion, he was talking about the struggle and the battle. And one of the guys came up and asked him, you know, well, I understand that. I face that every day, that battle, that struggle. Paul mentioned that in Romans 8 and 7. You know, the things that I need to be doing, I find myself not doing those things. And things that, you know, I ought not to be doing, I find myself doing those things, oh, wretched man that I am. He said, who's really in charge? And Swindoll said, it's the one you feed the most. It's the one you feed the most by getting into the Word of God, by placing the Word of God in your mind, in your heart, in your life, and fleshing it out and living it out. But every morning when I get up, I say, Lord, today I want to die to myself. I don't want selfishness. I don't want an attitude of whatever in my life. I want you to be in charge. I want you to rule and reign in my life and be the God of my life. And I want to serve you and just do those things that are pleasing in your sight. And it brought up a verse that you probably already know. Galatians 2:20. Listen to what Paul said. Past tense, I have been crucified with Christ, past tense. It is no longer I presently, it is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. And the life which I now presently live in the flesh, in this body, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. That's what it means to die to self, to realize when Christ was crucified, we were crucified. When Christ was resurrected, we were resurrected. There's life in us. Jesus said, because I live, you shall live also, John 14:19. So that's a tough thing to do, because all throughout the day, I don't know about you, but there's that attack of self trying to satisfy what self wants, what self desires. And it's important that we please the Lord. In fact, Jesus over and over again said, the things that I do, are those things that please the Lord. I always please the Lord. That's an amazing statement to say. And I know we don't do that because, you know, we're flesh and blood. We all mess up. We all sin and fall short. But he said, everything that I do, everything that I think, everything that I say, every place that I go, I do those things that are pleasing to you. So dying to self, I think, is a biggie to be able to get up every morning and start out that way and continue in that direction. Then notice, fifth of all, I'm to dedicate myself to the will of God. To dedicate myself to the will of God. And all throughout Scripture, it teaches us what His will is and the importance of God's will, doing what God desires for us to do. We know in 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse 9, it's God's will that we be saved. Right here in this passage in Ephesians 5:18. Remember, he said in the previous verse that we ought to know the will of God, and then he says to be Spirit-filled. So we learn from the Scripture, you know, what God's perfect will, what His desire is for our lives. And that's the message that we did not too long ago on Romans 12, verses 1 to 2, where we present ourselves a living sacrifice. And then we're separated from Him. We're renewing of our mind. So it's important that we become what God desires for us to become. Then number six, we're to depend on His power in all things. We're to depend on His power for all things. Look, if you would, you're in Ephesians. Look at chapter 6. We're eventually going to get to this passage, which is going to be our destination, because we are in that warfare. We have equipment, offensive and defensive pieces of equipment that help us in this battle that we face every day. But notice what he said in verse 10. He said, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. It's important that we allow the Spirit that lives within us. We depend on Him, His power. Philippians 4:13, I can do all things, what? Through Christ who strengthens me. And then if you would, go to chapter 3 of Ephesians and look at verse 16. Ephesians 3:16 says, that he would grant you, this is Paul's second prayer, that he would grant you, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with might through his Spirit in the inner man. And then one of my favorite verses is the last verse of chapter 3, verse 20, it says, or 20 and 21. It says, now to him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think. How is that possible? According to the power that works in us. And so I ask myself the question, is God's power working in me? Is God's power working in you? Do we see the power of God? Does he manifest himself? Does he release that power in our lives each and every day because we know that he lives within us? So in everything that we do, we're to depend on his power. Then I think this is a great one. Number 7 is dwell in the conscious presence of God. Think about that. Think about that just for a second. Every day when I get up, as I get up out of the bed, Jesus gets up out of the bed. When I go and do my thing, Jesus is right. I mean, didn't he promise that he would what? Never leave us nor forsake us. In fact, he said in Matthew chapter number 28, the very last part there, he said, lo, I am with you even unto the end of the age. Hebrews 13:5, I will never leave you nor forsake you. Even in the Old Testament, God was showing his strength that he would never leave. Listen to Deuteronomy 31, verse 6 and 8. Deuteronomy 31, 6 and 8. Be strong and of good courage. Do not fear, nor be afraid of them. For the Lord your God, he is the one who goes with you. He will not leave you nor forsake you. And the Lord, he's the one who goes before you. He will be with you. He will not leave you nor forsake you. Do not fear. Do not be dismayed. Now, I thought about that quite often this week. Jesus is always with me. Wherever I go, whatever I do, whatever I watch on television, whatever I look on the internet, wherever I go, whatever place I go, he is tagging along. He's always with us. You know, I thought about that. Man, if I was conscious of that and aware of that every day, all throughout the day, what kind of life would I live? And I think it would lean more toward the pure side, wouldn't you? Knowing that he's there before I make a decision, or before I go to this place, or before I make that decision. Hey, Lord, you're with me. You're going to help me. You're going to direct me. You're always there. To dwell in the conscious awareness of his presence. And then the last thing is we are to deliberate and to apply the word of God. The word deliberate means to meditate. It means to meditate. It means to ponder. It means to reflect. It means to consider. And I won't give you all the verses. Just go to Psalm 119. And there's at least 8 verses in that one psalm where the psalmist says, I meditate on your statutes. I meditate on your law. I meditate on your word. I meditate on your ordinances. And all those other words like ordinances and law, it's the word of God. It's the Bible. And so it's important that what we think, and I think it's Proverbs 23 that says, as a man thinks, what? So is he. And so the thing is, what are we thinking about? I think Philippians 4, verse 8, talks about those things that are noble, those things of good report, those things that are true. Think on these things. Meditate on these things. Dwell on these things. Ponder about these things. And God will bless and God will strengthen. You say, you know, why is it so important? Why is it so important for the Holy Spirit to be living in me vibrantly, alive, powerfully? Why is it so important? And I think what Paul says in the rest of these verses, because he deals with everything about life. And I'm not, you know, I'm not going to just go down the list, but just give you a couple things. First of all, you know, my focus in verse 19, what's my focus? Worship. Yeah, I'm here to love the Lord with all my heart, soul, mind, and strength, and love my neighbor as myself. I'm here to worship. And he talks about that in verse 19. And if you list every one of those, It deals with everything about life. It deals with your personal walk. It deals with husbands. It deals with wives. It deals with parents. It deals with children. It deals with your workplace. It also deals with your witnessing and your faith. We need the Spirit of God to control us in all these areas. You know, we're not able to thank Him for all things unless we're Spirit-filled. It's hard to submit unless we're Spirit-filled. It's hard to obey unless we are Spirit-filled. So being emptied of us and filled with Him, I think, is one of the most important things that can help us as we go into, as we continue this warfare, this battle. Because as he mentions in chapter 6, verse 10, be strong in the Lord and the power of His might. Put on the whole armor of God that you might be able to stand against the wiles, the schemes, the strategy of the devil. We can't win this war without being Spirit-filled. And I think that's why he takes that one verse and then stretches it out to deal with every area of our lives. And so I pray that every one of us this morning had been saved by God's grace. The very moment you trusted Christ as Savior and Lord, the very moment that you, by faith, believed and trusted, repented of your sins, asked Christ to come into your life, and He forgave you, boom, right then and there, the Spirit of the living God came to live inside of you. And the question is, what will you do with Him? Because he's a real person. What will you do with Him? And I think Paul gives us some good evidence of these truths that we mentioned this morning of what God can do in our lives if we'll just let Him take total control. Let's pray together. Father, I thank You, Lord, for the opportunity to be here this morning. I thank You so much for the Word of God, how awesome truth is. Father, thank You so much that we have this book each and every day to read and to study and to meditate and to think about the truths that are in here. And Father, how important it is in the times that we're living in right now, with everything going just totally crazy, Father. We have You living in us. We have the Word of God. Lord, You're there with us 24/7. You've given us principles and truths that we can apply in our lives, and that, Lord, You can use us still to make an impact and an influence in a world that's polluted by sin. Father, I pray that You might stir up the church. I pray that You might stir us up. And Father, give us that desire to want to be filled, and give us that desire to confess all known sin, and give us that desire, Father, to trust in You and let You live in us in a way that would change us. And just the fact of Christ in us, the possibility of changing others as they see Jesus inside of us. Lord, continue to lead us this week. Prepare us what You have for us. Lord, help us to lean on You and not on our understanding, and we'll give You the glory and the praise. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. We do have the notes over here. If you're a note taker, all the scriptures are there. All the points are there. I'll try to do that each week to give you something if you want to study. Anything that we need to mention before we close? Anybody? Right. See Miss Bishop about the boxes. We're excited about getting those 150. That's great. That's fantastic. Let's go ahead and get that going. Looking forward to. Come on. Okay. Also, let me make a quick announcement for our senior adults. Coming up Wednesday at 10 a.m., we'll be meeting in here for Bible study. I think it's lesson 8 on the church. So we're excited about getting together with our senior adults. So be praying for us on Wednesday morning at 10 a.m. Okay, anything else? All right. Brother Larry, would you close us in a word of prayer, please, sir? Thank you for the word that's been brought to us this morning, and pray, Father, that You would help us to be mindful of all.